Father, send your word deep into our hearts today.
We've come here to hear from you, so please take the human instrument out of the way. Be seen, be heard, be glorified, honored, and exalted, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you, choristers, and you may be seated, congregation. Happy Sabbath. Oh, that sounded pretty good. We'll try it one more time, though. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
Ooh, that was even better. Praise the Lord to see you today. What a blessing it is. It's a blessing to be seen. Amen?
Amen?
All right, all right. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. As we look at the greatest story of the greatest birth that ever took place. Luke chapter 1. Dr. Luke wrote Luke, and he wrote the book of Acts. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. All right, well, that was 30 seconds of silence, and for a reason. Between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there was 400 years without a prophet. No prophetic word came forth. So take 30 seconds times 420 million, do the math, and you'll have that 400 years. Did it seem like a long time? It's like, what's Pastor doing up there? Imagine how it must have seemed to the people of God. And then at the end of that, of course, then you go from this still silence to this prophetic roar of angelic appearances, two miraculous births. Of course, you have the prophet. There hadn't been a prophet in 400 years, John the Baptist, who was the messenger to prepare the way, of course, for the greatest birth. The birth of Jesus the Christ child. Amen? Now, this incarnation that we look at this time of year especially is so important. You know something's really important when Satan counterfeits it multiple times. I have just a few examples for you. Some of the rest of you from other cultures may be able to give me other examples also. But the counterfeit of Satan is everywhere regarding this incarnation. It's called the mother cult or the mother child cult. It started with a Babylonian legend which said that Semiramis, the wife of Nimrod, conceived a son not by Nimrod but by a sunbeam. She had a supernatural conception, according to this, of course, and that would produce Tammuz. But that's not all. Egypt, there's another mother cult story. There, it's Isis and Osiris. India, also, same story, only it's Issi and Ishwara. If you go to China, similar mother cult story, counterfeit of the true. Qing Mu, the holy mother with the child in her arms. Phoenicia has the same story, but there it is Ashtaroth and her son Baal. In Greece, same story, Aphrodite, and she's holding a little Eros. You see Satan embedded in all these cultures, the counterfeit, so that when we go and say to them, we have the God of heaven who created in the womb of Mary a Savior. They just yawn. We have that also. When we tell them that a virgin-born deliverer has come, they don't see it as astounding. They don't see it as great, as miraculous, as beyond incredible. And the counterfeit, unfortunately, does not end with the pagan religions. It's also crept into Christianity. There is the story of the Queen of Heaven, who was immaculately conceived. This is nowhere in the Bible, friends. Mary is not the Queen of Heaven. She was highly blessed. We're going to look at that today. But she was merely a bond servant. That's what she told us of herself, amen? I'm merely a bond servant. She is not co-redemptrix. We have one redeemer. She can't answer your prayers. She can't hear you speak. And she hasn't appeared to anyone. This, unfortunately, friends, is a form of idolatry. And it's also, unfortunately, the foundation of the view among many Muslims that the Trinity is not Father, Son, Holy Spirit, as we understand it, but Father, Mary, Jesus. But the truth is what the Bible tells us, that this is an exceedingly great birth. God, El Elohim, created in the womb of Mary without any sexual contact, right? Not by Joseph, surely not by God. A child whose name would be Jesus, Yahweh saves. A child who would be called the Son of the Highest. A son that would be the anti-type, perfect David, and would be given the throne of his ancestor David. He would be a son that would always be God, but would take a humanity like ours. He would live a perfect life in the flesh. He would die the cruelest of deaths. He would be resurrected and be the first fruits, that wave sheaf offering of those who would come forth from the grave after him. His resurrection would guarantee the resurrection to come. He would not just become a man among men, but he would become the man, the corporate man, Emmanuel, God with us. He took all of us into himself and worked out a redemption for us. Well, let's look at it in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. It says this, and in the sixth month, I've got the King James rendering this morning. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named, what's it named? Nazareth. Just a small town. Wasn't a fancy place. But that's the city that we're talking about here. And the angel Gabriel, importantly, is the one that's sent. Verse 27. Sent to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. So the angel Gabriel is coming to Mary in Nazareth, and he's got a message for her. Now, I want us to track, as we look at the message to Mary, that we might understand that there's a sense in which this is our story. Not just Mary's, it's our story. God has come to us with blessings. Oh, let's see it as we read it. Verse 28 now. And the angel came to her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." All right, let's unpack this a little bit. This word hail means to delight in God's grace. God is on your side. He is leaning towards you. And it's in the present tense, so you need to delight in his grace now. That's what the word would help us to understand. And these words, grace and joy or delight, are cognates, right? They're from the same root word, right? And anytime we understand grace, joy should be the result, amen? And grace isn't just some mamby-pamby weak thing, right? When grace reigns on our hearts, sin has no chance. Come on, say amen if that's good news. That's what the book of Romans tells us. Grace, we should rejoice every time we understand a little bit more of how much we have been graced. Hail is the greeting. highly favored one. That's very interesting. You are favored, endowed with grace. That's what he's saying. You're not the grace giver, right? You're the one who's blessed, not the blesser, Mary. She would shrink back from such a description of her. And this highly favored is in the perfect tense. The Greek has a perfect tense, which kind of swallows up the past tense, the present, and the future all together. So you have been highly favored, you are highly favored right now, and you will be highly favored. The only other place we see this word in this exact form is in Ephesians 1:6. And you are blessed there too. Actually, we'll go to Ephesians, but let's stay with this now. So hail, highly favored. That is, delight in God's grace. You have been favored with grace. And then it says, blessed are you among women. Again, that's the perfect tense, right? Again, not the blesser, but you are blessed. And indeed, Mary was blessed, right? We cannot deny that. And she was open to God's blessings. She was in a situation where she could receive God's blessings, right? How about you? Are you open or are you putting up a wall when God tries to bless you? Amen? The wall of unbelief. It could be the wall of sin in your life. Whatever it is, God says, put those walls down. I've got blessings for you. Accept them. You're highly favored. You are blessed. Hail. Delight in God's grace. That's you. It's Mary, but it's you. That's what it says there in verse 28. Let's go to Ephesians. We'll be right back here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 because I want to show you four things that you can never lose. Ephesians chapter 1. These are blessings just for you, friends. Ephesians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Mary was blessed. You've been blessed. This is talking about all of us, friends. Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's a lot of blessings. Come on and say amen. It's a lot of blessings. You have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. According as he has chosen us. Do you know you're chosen today, friends? Amen. He's chosen us in him. From when? Well, from before the foundation of the world. Could your good works have done anything to deserve that? Absolutely not. You weren't around yet. He chose you from the foundation of the world. The question is, are you going to accept his choice of you and choose him in return? You're blessed, you're chosen, and he chose us for a purpose. It says right there that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's God's purpose, plan for our lives. Verse 5, having predestined us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. That means it makes him happy. He's predestined us. He's adopted us as his child. Oh, children of God, today rejoice, for Christ has been born. Amen. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted, where? In the beloved. You have been accepted in the beloved. Young people will do nearly anything to get acceptance, right? I mean, they'll join all kinds of, you know, fraternities and all kinds of things. And that maybe it's not just young people. But you have an acceptance that outweighs anything anywhere, amen? You've been accepted in the beloved. Now, that other acceptance, oh, it's something, right? But it's nothing compared to that acceptance. Amen? You have been accepted. You're a child of God. You're an ambassador of the Most High. And so we can count on that every day of our lives. Back to Luke chapter 1 as we continue with the story. It's Mary's story, but it's your story. Hail. Delight in God's grace. Highly favored. You are favored or endowed with grace. The Lord is with you. He's promised to be with you. Blessed art thou among women. You too, friends, here today have been blessed. Verse 29, she's wondering, what kind of salutation is this? And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind, or she just kept rehearsing it, what manner of salutation should this be? And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. You too are favored by God. Amen? Found favor with God. God has been gracious to you. That, again, that's the key part of this word, finding favor or grace. Again, it's a cognate of the other words that make up hail and highly favored. It's all similar. Going on, of course, Mary's going to continue to be trying to understand this as time goes on. Verse 31, the angel goes on and says this, and behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, or Yahweh saves. Definitely an allusion here to Isaiah 9:6. Going on. He shall be great. I could preach a whole sermon on that. He shall be great. Amen? And shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. The great one. Christ himself, amen? God come down in the flesh, great in so many ways. Think of the greatness. You've got a little poem in your bulletin that I wrote. Think of how great a distance, right, he had to travel from that great city of light to this dark planet. Christ traveled. Imagine how the angels must have wondered what he was doing. Are you sure you should do this, Lord? Let us do it instead. I was praying and thinking about this and wrote this little poem. It's kind of from the angel's side of seeing this amazing condescension. Don't go, Lord. May it be I, the weeping angels plead. Our hearts will break to see you go. Let our lives be as seed. Such condescension undeserved, it makes certain who you are. But the path, Lord, is filled with danger great, and the distance much too far. And whiles the angels beg of God, dear Jesus then did say, my mind is made, I shall not turn. The ransom I must pay. Be strong, my friends. Weep not for me. My love can do no other. A kinsman I will be to them. Their land I will recover. Remember what Boaz had to be the nearest of kin. I will return, but not the same. The scars of love you'll see. My life entwined, one with the race, I will forever be. What a great Savior we have, amen? Amen? He shall be great. He shall be great in so many ways. He was the greatest king. He was a baby that would rule nations. The great I am, as Steve sang for us, as the girls sang, welcome, holy, perfect, holy child, perfect son, right? Our hymns are full of this type of language because they understood the greatness of the God we serve and the great distance he traveled to be our Savior. He was also the greatest servant, wasn't he? Wow, did he ever teach how to be a servant? The greatest Savior, the greatest Lord, the Messiah, great in holiness. He is now our high priest and our great high priest, amen? He is the greatest example of love the universe has ever seen because he was God himself, great in every way. He shall be great. Do you see him as great? God is great, isn't he? He's great. He shall be great and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. Verse 33, he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Do you long for that day, my friends, when this actually is completely fulfilled? It's coming, friends. It's coming soon. God is opening doors wide for the promulgation of the gospel. Be a part of it. Jesus is coming soon. It will change your life as you help to change others' lives. A missional church is a happy church, is a healthy church. Be a part of something bigger than yourselves today. He'd be the Son of the Highest. He'd reign. His kingdom would have no end. Verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I do not know a man? Now, what she is saying here is, I believe this, but how will it happen, right? She's not making the same error earlier Zacharias did, saying, I don't think this is even going to happen, right? And the angel had to remind, I love that verse. What did the angel respond? He said, hi, I'm Gabriel. I'm Gabriel. You'll be silent until this is a little further down the road. But here Mary says, I believe this will happen, but how? How can this happen? And the angel said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also, that holy thing, notice all the holies in there, shall be born of thee, which shall be called the Son of God. And we know when Jesus is proclaimed as, when he proclaimed himself as the Son of God, he was saying he was God, equal with God. The Pharisees knew it. That's why they tried to kill him when he said it. Christ, the Son of God. Martin Luther said there are three miracles of the Nativity. First, that God became man. Secondly, that a virgin would conceive. And thirdly, that Mary would believe. So we go on, we see her faith-filled response. What is your response to the blessings, to the favor, to the hail that God has said to you? We go on. Verse 36, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. So he gives her even an example to base her faith on. Of course, different, but still miraculous. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. That's a short verse. I think can we repeat that together? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Oh, one more time. That brings joy to my soul. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Come on and say amen if you believe that. Woo! Go scriptures. I tell you, God's word is powerful. With God, nothing shall be impossible. If it's according to his will, if it's for his glory and for our best good, it's going to happen. Amen? We have too small a vision, too small a faith sometimes. He says nothing will be impossible. And he's going to prove it to her. Verse 38, and this is key. It was key for Mary. It's key for us as we go forward this season and into this new year, good Lord willing. Mary said this, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. That's what she saw herself as, a humble handmaid. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to what? To your word. We need to have faith in the word, amen? Be it unto me according to your word. It's as if she said, amen, right? It's as if she said, amen, and the angel departed from her. The great one, the greatest of all, has given us these blessings, right? He said, delight in God's grace. He says, you are highly favored. You are blessed today. You have found favor. God has been gracious to you. What is your response, right? Because we can know about the story. You know, it happens every year. We kind of start to think about this story again, the incarnation, Christ come down. But if he's not dwelling here, we've missed it all. Amen? We missed it all. Unless, with all these blessings just, you know, put in our pathway, unless we say the amen, it's all for naught, right? I mean, it's not all for naught. It's still amazing. He still did it. But it doesn't transform unless our heart appreciates and grabs hold of it by faith. Come on, say amen. Amen. And so I pray that your faith and my faith will grow this season as we think again of the incarnation and coming into a new year and what God has in store for this church, for this world, I think is going to surprise us in 2024. Amen? All right, we have our singers coming up at this time to bless us. The quartet, I believe, is coming up now, so we'll look for them. But believe, friends, that you've chosen, you've been chosen, you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. God is getting ready to do great things on earth. Let's just have a quick word of prayer as the singers come up now. Father in heaven, as we've read this amazing story, it is always amazing. It's incredible. It's never happened before or since that you, dear Father, would take flesh upon you in the person of Jesus, that you would be born in a manger, and that, Jesus, you would live that perfect, humble life from beginning to end. The life that we can't live, you've lived it. The death that we deserve, you died it. And so, Lord, we've been blessed. And may we rejoice in your grace today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.